From the heart of rural France, this is the Keto Woman podcast, brought to you by me. Hello, keto lovelies. I'm Daisy Brackenhall, and I've spent most of my life struggling with my weight and confidence, and have always had a difficult relationship with food. Even when I finally got to my target weight after weight loss surgery and eating low carb, I couldn't maintain it and I was miserable. I've been keto now for over 2 years and it has given me the freedom to fall in love with food again without the constant gain, loss, guilt, virtue cycle of before. Health and happiness is where it's at now, running on fat. Welcome to the Keto Woman podcast. Each week I'll be chatting to inspirational women, maybe even the odd man, to discover the secrets to their success so that I can share them with you. So what is keto? Keto is a way of eating that enables you to switch your body's main fuel source from sugar to fat. Who doesn't want to be a fat burner, right? But how do we achieve this? A great place to start is by keeping carbs under 20 grams a day. So things like leafy greens and above ground vegetables, plus some nuts and seeds and the incidental carbs you find in things like full fat dairy. Choose delicious fatty proteins and be free and easy with oily dressings on salad and butter on your veggies. Once you're in the swing of things, you can tweak it to suit you. Make your own personalized keto. You'll hear all sorts of ways to keto from my guests. There is no one way to do keto, no one size fits all. I hope to show you just how flexible and fabulous this way of eating can be. I'm not a doctor, and most of my guests won't be either, so we really can't give you medical advice. It's always best to consult your own doctor when making big changes to your diet and lifestyle, because they know you and your medical history, and so have access to the bigger picture. Wouldn't it be helpful to have one place where you could find all the links? Want to sign up to my new Patreon-exclusive Facebook group, Daisy's Lovelies? No problem. How about subscribing to my YouTube channel? Please help me notch up my first 1,000 subscribers by going to links.ketowomanpodcast.com and following the YouTube link. Not following me on Instagram yet? Hit the Instagram button. You get the idea. All the buttons, all the links you need are at links.ketowomanpodcast.com. Welcome to episode number 166. Which is a Christmas crossover with Kim Howerton's podcast, Keto Life Support. Organising and then editing 6 people across 4 time zones is, shall we say, a challenge. But it was great fun to record despite my internet dropping out multiple times. We also had to record different parts out of order to get Louise and Terry in both episodes. So if there are some slightly odd transitions, you'll know why. I know it's been a tough year for many of you, and your holiday plans are quite probably not what you imagined they would be. But I hope that you get to have a break and spend some happy times with friends and family, even if that happens via the internet like it does in my house. Thank you for being such an important part of my life. Much love to you. And now, please join me, Kim, Terry, Louise, Matt and John for the first part of the Keto Cruise Rambly Chat. Welcome to the Keto Woman podcast and
Keto Life Support.
It's another keto crossover.
We are so excited to be here today and together, and not just Daisy and I, or me and Daisy. Wait, anyway.
That's always whatever. A tricky one.
We're very excited to be here. I'm usually good at it, but this is too much pressure, Daisy.
Too early in the morning.
It's early here.
For you.
And why is it so early when we're doing this? When I have rules against early things? Well, we have special circumstances today.
We're back with our keto crew. We have John.
Hello, everyone.
Louise.
Hi, everyone.
Matt.
Hello.
And Terry.
Hey there.
And for it to be daytime in California, it had to be almost the middle of the night in Thailand.
Yeah, poor old Louise always ends up with the short straw, unfortunately.
It would have been really nice, Kim, if you'd made it like even 7 a.m. I would have really appreciated that one more extra hour as we're recording into the dead of night here in Bangkok. But I understand.
Neither Kim nor Terry function at 7 a.m. It's bad enough at 8.
I had to remind myself about your night owlish, you know, tendencies as opposed to being the lark. So I will gracefully take this on the chin for you.
We appreciate it. And strangely, I'm usually the one who just is the most unmovable, can't do mornings person. But I think I might have met my match in Terry.
It is possible. I get up early, but I don't get going early. Like my voice, my mind, actions, they don't really happen first thing. So this still feels early to me. And I had to wait to get coffee after waiting an hour after taking thyroid medication. So I'm just now starting the coffee.
You two are very good about that. I must admit I don't do that. I just go straight in with the coffee.
Well, I just feel like if I go straight in with a coffee, I might as well not take the pill because you don't absorb the medication if you have the coffee within a certain period of time.
Is that true, though? Can you prove that to me?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
It appears to be true. But, I mean, I guess if you're doing it the way you're doing it and you are having appropriate thyroid levels, I guess you've proven that your approach is effective because your thyroid numbers are appropriate. But every bit of advice I can find, I think this is just a guess. I think what it is that thyroid medication is really slow to absorb. Mm-hmm. And so when you start adding, they even warn against an excess of water to dilute that.
Wow.
You're going to just flush the medication out rather than absorbing it. That is what I believe the concern is. Mm-hmm. As I am not a biochemist myself, I cannot comment about any specific tests that I've looked at, but I started taking thyroid medicine. I remember the first year, it was like such a problem. Like it was like, wait, I have to take it, and then I can't go out to brunch with you because I just took my and it was this whole big problem. But at this point, it takes me an hour to get my S together anyway in the morning before I get to the coffee pot. So it's no longer really a problem.
Yeah, I'll have to look at that. Maybe I've just been consistently taking more thyroid medication than maybe I need to take because of the coffee.
Yeah, you might be getting like a half of your dose.
Yeah, but I compensate from that
by upping your dose.
Are fine as far as that. Yeah, exactly.
We'll just take more.
Yeah. So maybe I should look at that.
Daisy, and a question for Richard next time you have him on.
Yeah.
Yeah, poor old Richard. He gets all, I keep a list going. Well, I need you to answer my questions about bets. I need you to answer all my questions about COVID. You're my go-to person. What do you mean you don't know the answer?
You're the smart person.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I can't understand how you can wait an hour before you have coffee, because I just make a beeline straight to the machine. So that's one of the first things I do, is just basically straight to the machine. So that's got to warm up and get prepped and pump ready and all that sort of stuff and heater on. I don't know if I can delay my gratification any longer than making a beeline straight from the bedroom to the machine.
Hence my groggy.
I take a pause, let Milo out while he's out in the backyard. I go get to the coffee pot.
Chris gets up first, so I just come downstairs and it's there. Which is nice.
I generally don't even have my first cup of coffee until around 10 a.m.
Oh.
Wow.
I don't really need coffee. I just really like coffee.
Same here.
Oh, that's
there are
big
days
difference.
Where I don't drink it at all.
I don't have those days.
I could probably count them on one hand.
Yeah, me too. They're not frequent.
You also make strong, strong coffee.
I have a weird relationship with coffee that my mom is like this too. Although my mom can't function without coffee, but she drinks like 2 pots of coffee a day. And it like doesn't affect her sleep at all. She's, you know, 75. And I can have a cup of coffee and go to bed like an hour later, and it won't keep me up.
Me too. Yeah, I can do that.
No, I can't anymore.
I cannot do that.
And I can drink like 5, 6, 7, 8 espressos and not feel jittery. Like it has very little impact on me, except if I go more than a day without coffee, I get like a slight headache. That's it. I don't know.
Yeah, I drink it all day, all night. My dad drinks it the same way. It doesn't bother me. I drink hot coffee and then I switch over to iced coffee, and that's about all I drink.
I used to be able to. I can't anymore.
John and my wife laugh at me. I come in hot sometimes. I come in and she's like, how much coffee have you had? Because I'm like,
True story.
Like I need help, right?
So we've got the Miele, the grind and brew machine. So this was one of the first things when we moved here to Thailand. Our ship, our container came like 3 months after we came here. So that got unpacked first. The second thing was the bed topper, you know, the memory foam bed topper, because the beds here are super light, super hard.
Oh, they're solid, aren't they?
Oh,
I can remember
God.
The first time I went to see my dad. He's like, here's your room. And I went to jump on the bed. Ow!
Wow.
It's made with Kapok or something. Yeah, it is solid.
Super,
solid,
super fan.
Solid, solid.
Is it like almost futon-y, so it's real packed?
No, it's hard.
Think
it's
that,
hard.
But even more so. Yeah, it's like, it's stuffed with, it's like Kapok or something. And it's like...
I don't know what that is either.
Me either.
It's just a really hard... packing material. Okay. Yeah. Think of the hardest bed you've ever slept on or sat on, and then like multiply it by about 10. And that's, yeah, that's what they're like.
A basement floor with a shoe as a pillow.
Pretty much. Like
the college days.
A shoe as a pillow?
I don't know that I had those college days.
I did.
We went to different colleges, sure, Matt. Sorry, I interrupted you, Louise. Mattress topper for your rock hard mattress.
The Miele, the grind and brew, because it can do all these big fancy things. And so Andrew has his setting and I have my setting. So, you know, we get these supremely delicious, you know, frothy coffee as well. So because we've got the milk frother. So the last couple of weeks I've been tracking, and so going into chronometer and, you know, tracking my calories and macros and all this sort of thing. And I realized that 1/3 of my calories comes from my morning coffee.
Wow.
So I switched back to black. So I went back
Blimey.
To black coffee.
What are you putting in there?
We measured out about maybe 3 tablespoons of cream, but because cream's so expensive here, I've actually diluted it as well. So it's just a creamy, milky coffee latte.
How many? Were you having like 20 coffees in the morning?
3, but they're doubles. Okay. They're quite a big serve.
I'm doing math.
Obviously, I was, you know, the calories were bang for my buck, as delicious as they were, and then I'll be eating 2 meals a day. So the calories sort of bang for my buck nutritionally, looking at the micronutrients. I was obviously, you know, I could do better with just maybe a black coffee and then topping up with oily fish. And that's when I went down the lean chicken breast route to get my
not
protein.
Not in the coffee. I wouldn't
not
put
in
oily
fish in my coffee. No. Not at the same time.
Not my morning tasty. Coffee, at least.
No.
More afternoon.
I was inspired by Kim's
imagine the smell.
Protein experiments and that sort of stuff. So how she got her protein in. So, by reducing my creamy coffees and upping my lean chicken breast, I was trying to be like Kim and get my protein. I want to see Kim's guns. It's like, show us your guns.
Kim doesn't have guns. Kim has flubs.
Flumps.
I don't know what you call them.
I cannot imagine being low on protein. That's crazy. I got to struggle to keep mine down.
Yeah,
I
mean,
I don't, but I should. But
are you still dairy free with your coffee, Kim? I can remember you going through so many different experiments. Aren't you on sort of like nut pods or something these days?
Yes. I am still dairy free in my coffee, but I'm not dairy free in my food, if that makes sense. Mm.
You came up with a winning combination for your coffee in the end, didn't you, that you really
like? I did. I realized, like, I really think, like, I had to, like, surrender to who I am. I am a person that likes a lot of milk in my coffee. That is who I am in the world. And so I came up with a combination that is, I use nut pods. So nut pods are a coffee creamer that's made with a combination of coconut milk and almond milk. They're unsweetened, but the company, they have a plain one, but they do a lot of flavors. And I like to shop and buy new things. And so this company has like managed to really key into my demographic exactly by offering like seasonal flavors. So I'm always like, what do they have now? And like, there's always something new. So they have like peppermint mocha right now, but it's not sweetened. So that's kind of nice. So it's like minty and chocolatey, but you can either not sweeten it or adjust the level of sweetness. So I've been doing a few tablespoons of the nut pods. They're a little thicker than almond milk and they have flavors in them. And then I top off with some nice almond milk, unsweetened, so that I get that real milky coffee experience. And it's working out perfectly for me. But as I explain to anyone who asks about this, as I go through seasons of things, like before that I got into the nut pods, I was very much into a brand called Elmhurst, which made hazelnut milk.
Oh, I remember that.
And that hazelnut milk was really good too. So I just go through different seasons, but right now I'm super into the nut pods. And I find I just like life a little better when I'm not having to be really stingy with the milkiness of my coffee, because like I said, it's not so much that I need coffee, it's that I like coffee. So why am I making something I like in a way I don't like? I might as well just not have it. Mm. So I found a way to have what I like.
Makes sense.
And when you say pods, what do you mean? Like the creamer kind of thing?
Literally, the name is Nut Pods.
But gotcha.
it comes in a little, like, it looks like a little milk box.
Okay.
And it's just a creamer, but the brand is called Nut Pods.
And is it refrigerated or just in?
So they make two kinds. One comes in the refrigerated section, and that one has to stay refrigerated, but they also make ones that are shelf stable. Apparently, this is why I have no memory, because I remember things like this. Apparently, they have two different kinds of packaging material. One is permeable, one is non-permeable. The non-permeable one is shelf stable. So it just depends which kind of packaging you order. So you can order them on like Amazon and they'll ship to you in the shelf stable ones so that you don't have to worry about refrigerating them. You do have to refrigerate it once you open them.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to look at the natural food store next time I go.
My local stores have a few of their flavors, but I don't know what they do with overseas. I don't know if they're available in Canada or the UK or anywhere else.
You got me a peppermint mocha.
I know. That one I did have to order on Amazon, but okay. it was delightful.
They're also cheaper in the store. The ones I've ordered on Amazon are the smaller containers.
Mm-hmm.
And they're basically like $4 per. Mm-hmm. But the ones I can get in a store here are a much bigger container and maybe only three or maybe four, but very much a cost difference in the two.
Yeah, you are paying a premium for getting what you want.
And the stores only carry very limited flavors in those bigger containers.
But the good news is now that I only put like a couple tablespoons in each coffee, even a little container lasts a good week. Whereas if it was my only milky source, then I would be going faster.
Using the nut pods has helped me to cut down on my heavy cream. So in my gigantic coffee, I will now use one tablespoon of nut pods and one tablespoon of heavy cream. And it's perfect.
I went through a phase too. It's like when I first started keto, I was making the, what's it called?
Bulletproof coffee.
Yeah. And I've slowly just started taking out I don't do the coconut milk in it anymore. I've taken out the cream for the most part. And now the cream's a treat for me. It's like, I think I'll put a little cream in my coffee this morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what we've done here is to sort of titrate down the cream, obviously, because it's so expensive. So, and titrate up the milk. So, but it's a 4% milk. So it's still, you know, it's a bit of a trade-off, but the ratio is still good. It still gives me a latte in the morning.
And people that are listening, you can't hear me. Every time I say milk, I do, you know, mental air quotes. I'm using not milk, but, you know, dairy milk is what I should say. I'm using nut milk. But the thing that I've been undertaking, why this has been an issue for me is, you know, I've been doing an experiment in 2020 where I've lowered the amount of fat I use, drink, eat, and worked on protein more. And coffee has been sort of the low-hanging fruit as a place to reduce. Although I reduced the coffee cream before I started on this so hard to remember when you start things. I removed the cream from my coffee a while back. It really has helped. I love cream. I could just drink cream straight. It is delicious, but it is sort of lacking in any nutrient value other than delight, which is a value. But
my brother sent me some clotted cream for my birthday. That's the best stuff. That is the cream of all creams.
It's the queen of cream.
I may have missed it, but Kim, do you not even cook with cream anymore?
No. I do use dairy in... I will eat dairy. I will not drink it.
But will you take the same cream and put it in a sauce and then it's okay? But you won't put it in a coffee?
I would. I don't really buy cream anymore. So it's not okay. In my house to use.
Gotcha.
Like over the holidays, I've been using a little bit of cream in some desserts. But for the most part, I've been working on eating a lot more protein and less fat. And so, gosh, things like cream and butter add up quickly. And so I'm just looking at alternatives, but I don't want to say I'm dairy free because, I use cottage cheese and yogurt and those seem to have no negative effects on anything I'm trying to do.
Gotcha.
Dairy mindful.
I'm dairy conscious.
Good phrases. Speaking of Amazon and ordering things off of Amazon, have any of you ever used inulin in cooking?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You have?
Yes. I use it in a bread recipe. So I use it as a culture to feed the yeast in the bread recipe that I make.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. I was wondering if it had some of that effect as well, because I made a bread recipe and I could not find inulin in any store around here. So I use psyllium husk, and I'm not really a fan of psyllium husk at all. It just tastes kind of, I don't know, I don't like the texture, I guess.
They do very different things.
Right. Inulin, it has a sweetness to it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm.
Yeah.
It's made from, I think, chicory root or Jerusalem artichoke
yeah.
root.
Yeah, and it browns. It's an oligosaccharide, mm-hmm. I think is the right term. And it's what goes into, it's not necessarily inulin, but it's an oligosaccharide that's used in Swerve, I believe.
Okay.
And it's what helps it brown, because things like erythritol on their own don't really brown, do they?
Right.
But
no.
If you put some inulin in the mix, it helps it brown.
Huh.
And actually... creme brulee tip, and this is what I discovered, and it's a really good use for it. If you want that crispy top on top of creme brulee, you can do that with inulin, and you can brown it. And you have to eat it pretty quickly. It won't last for a long time, but you can sprinkle inulin on the top and heat it, and it'll crisp.
Very nice.
We were using allulose while I was in cooking, but it browns too much.
It like blackens.
It looks burnt, yeah. But it doesn't mm-hmm. taste burned. But it browns yeah. so fast.
I believe it has an accelerated Maillard reaction, which is that browning.
Yeah, it does.
And,
yeah, it does.
And so, yeah, you think it's burned, but it's just...
It looks like crap, but it tastes fine. Right. But you don't want to serve it to people.
Yeah, I'll use it in baking, but I don't use it in rubs and stuff like that because of that reason. Or anything like a crumb top or anything like that.
So, it's been, shall I say, an interesting year.
Mm.
So, I want to check in with all you... darlings, about 2020. I mean, we know what's gone on outside in the world. We know, we all are aware. I don't think there's a hermit listening to this podcast who's like, there was a what? A pandemic? our audience of hermits is low, you know, not a lot. But how has this all affected you personally? How was your 2020? Why don't we start with Terry?
My 2020 was on some levels not affected at all, in that I already worked from home. I already don't go out a lot. And I moved to a new area soon before it started, so I don't know anyone here. The challenge with it is it slowed me down from getting to do any travel, obviously, and from meeting people. It's hard to meet people when everyone's social distancing and not gathering and things. So, you know, it's made meeting people happen a little more online, which is not my preference. It's definitely affected me in those ways. And then the other piece of 2020 for me has just been a number of some health challenges that I've been working through. And just when I thought things were going better, just kind of, take another nosedive. So as we were talking about thyroid medication earlier, you know, trying to get things straightened out. So it's been kind of a challenging year on some levels and pretty status quo on other levels. That's all I got. You're all looking at me like, and
what else is going on? Well, I mean, you started a new podcast.
Yes.
Yep. And that was pretty new for me, and with a little bit of arm twisting from Daisy.
A little bit.
Okay, a lot.
There's like all this prodding. I kept prodding. I'd like leave it a month, and then I'd prod her again. Mm-hmm. So, Terry, and I think in the end it was like almost like ultimatum time. So, Terry, are we going to do this or are we not going to do this?
And it's fairly true.
Pushed her over the cliff.
Fairly true to my nature. I'm not someone who follows through on things real well. And so I probably thought at the time, like, sure, we'll do it. Thinking we'll do a few. It'll taper off. She'll lose interest. It'll be fine. But now we've done, I think we've already recorded episode 31. So That's been great. I moved again, which is kind of a yearly tradition for me. And this time not a long distance move, just a 15-minute move. So, you know, a lot of packing, unpacking, getting used to a new area, those kinds of things. And some things that in my work with the fasting method have changed a little bit. I am developing a behavioral course for the program and got to go into a studio and record videos for that. So that was very exciting. And I get to work with people in that community and focus more on the behavioral aspects of fasting and change of eating habits. And, you know, that fits my background as a psychologist. So it's kind of like the perfect blending of past and present and future for me.
Mm. That sounds exciting, Terry.
What about you, Louise?
Well, yeah, 2020 was obviously, first of all, you know, arrived in Thailand. So we're just coming up to this week, our first 1 year. So 1 year down and 2 years to go. And yeah, so the first couple of months were really great, you know, vibrant city, getting out and about, being able to travel. And then obviously lockdown happened. And to share with the listeners a bit of the irony, because as they will remember from our previous podcasts, I was actually in the UK last year. So I was away from home and family. Lockdown came and for, you know, 24/7, I had to sort of get used to being a couple again. So the irony of having had this long distance sort of relationship in the previous 12 months and then to sort of, you know, fast forward 24/7. It's like, yeah, that was a interesting experience. There was no escape in this 3-bedroom apartment here. Luckily, there was a balcony. We do have a balcony on the 28th floor, but we survived.
What, luckily as in nobody got thrown off it?
Yeah. The irony was not lost on me about from having the long distance relationship and then obviously being trapped. But things are really, obviously, the contrast in terms of the pandemic experience here in Thailand. You know, it's an interesting culturally. So I suppose, you know, there's been some adaptations to the cultures and the way things are done around here, one of which is language. That's been quite a interesting experience in grappling. On a good day, English is my first language and I struggle with it. But learning a different language. And I think that sort of gives me an appreciation for the migrant experience. So how migrants approach other languages and speakers of other languages. And I'm not an unintelligent person. I've got some book smarts behind me. I've got some cred. But I can't speak the language. How do I go into the 7-Eleven? How do I get my fruit and veg? How do I go and speak to chicken lady or egg lady? And is a source of embarrassment, particularly when I think I hear what they're saying, but I hand money off. I have this embarrassment that I think I hear something, but I've heard it incorrectly and I give the wrong money or I interpret it wrong. And I'm grappling with learning Thai.
And the fact that everyone's wearing masks probably makes that a little harder too.
Absolutely. So the mask, and it is a mask-wearing society because, again, today pollution. So the pollution here in the city is actually really bad. So we do have very poor air quality. So we were already a mask-wearing society. And the other thing culturally that was a nuance to reasons for low numbers apparently is because we don't shake hands. We do a Y. So that's the hand pressing and, you know, bow your head. So, yeah, it's been interesting, but I'm optimistic. I started a new job. So, as I mentioned, the college professor, remote working online, and I'm absolutely appreciative of my employer allowing me to teach through distance methods and getting used to those platforms and the students and doing that and researching and networking and creating all those again in that space, in the virtual space, has been quite a challenge, but a good challenge. And as I mentioned, yeah, there's big regional offices here in Bangkok. So with the UN and the World Health Organization. So I'm looking forward to creating new networks in the international humanitarian space for the work that I do in public health and emergencies, paramedic work. So that's my optimistically moving forward opportunities that I wish to create.
Nice. Is the university an Australian one?
Yes. Yeah, it's back teaching with an Australian. And Australian teaching, certainly this university that I'm teaching with has been in the distance education now for 20, 25 years. So very well versed in distance. The transition, obviously, with lockdown to online platforms was absolutely seamless because they had such a long-standing infrastructures and technologies and platforms. It wasn't too much of a disruption for the teaching there.
That's great. Well, John, how's your 2020 been?
2020 hasn't been bad. Besides the pandemic and, you know, being socially isolated and that kind of stuff. Actually, I haven't been because, as we discussed on the last podcast, when it first happened, I was already hanging out with Matt's family and having dinners over there and stuff. And the first cases in Delaware were at the University of Delaware, where his wife works, in the building where his wife works. So we came to the conclusion then, it's like, well, if she has it, we all have it. So we've just maintained that, I guess.
Bubble.
Yeah.
A little pod.
Yeah, exactly.
Pod, that pod. Yeah.
Not nut pod.
It's all about the pods today.
Not a nut pod.
Well, it is kind of a nut pod.
Easy.
But I started a new job as well. That's been challenging, trying to learn a new position in a remote environment because you don't have your colleagues there to ask questions of. You know, we have instant messages and stuff like that, but it's not the same. But I think that there has been some really good things about 2020 as well. One, because the environment in the U.S. has been so hostile on everything, pandemic, the disease itself, politics. I think it causes a lot of people to turn off the news and just appreciate what's in front of them, really set their priorities differently. For example, right now I was looking over at the Christmas tree. If you come up my street, like the neighbors on our street have taken the time to go out and decorate. And it's really nice to see that sense of they can't see it themselves, but they're doing it for everyone else. So it looks nice to come up our street and see the last six houses on my side of the street all decorated. It is challenging that we can't meet with family and friends, but it is what it is, and we have made adjustments there as well. We will have bonfires and then, you know, sit across from each other. So we've made it work.
Yeah. It is nice, isn't it, though, when you drive around and things are sparkly, and even if you can't have that hot cocoa inside with your friend or whatever you want to do, at least there's this feeling that we're all in this together.
Yeah.
Alone. But, yeah. You know, separately, but together.
Yeah.
And as Matt was saying, it's like it's people saying, hey, we're still here. We've decorated for Christmas.
Yeah.
Some people were talking about they couldn't find the spirit this year. Like, we doubled down. We got a second Christmas tree because Chris is really into ornaments. So now we have to have two trees. But it's really nice just that the whole house, even if everything's crappy outside, you know, in the house, it feels really nice. So
yeah, they're dense, very cozy.
Yeah. And I'm hoping that people don't go and do big family gatherings, but you can still make your house festive inside and out. And we put lights up and stuff. So, you know, that's a highlight of what's going on right now.
It's also doing stuff for other people. So that's been a focus too. It's like I said, my neighbors can't see their own house, but I enjoy looking out the window and seeing their house all decorated. So they're really doing it for others, not themselves.
Yeah. That's nice.
Go ahead, Matt.
All right. So yeah, my 2020, similar to Terry in that I already worked from home and I'm not one to go out. John will tell you, him and my wife have to drag me out a lot. Once I get out, I have a good time. I just get anxious about going out. So that didn't change. I've honestly selfishly enjoyed that my wife and kids are home. So I have somebody to hang out with when I'm working, but it, you know, they don't like it. It's been tough getting two daughters, you know, ready for school. One's in college, her first semester in college, which she is home, which, you know, she's not excited about. But we've made it work and everyone stayed healthy, happy. We've had a couple, you know, warning shots where we had to all run and go get tested and it false negatives and all that good stuff. My parents are really fully on retiring now. They're building a new house. They sold their beach house. So I get to live vicariously through them of the pictures of all the changes that they're going through and exciting stuff like that. Because there's not a lot exciting stuff going on here. We just hunkered down. My middle daughter works at a grocery store, which is was very nerve-wracking, but she wanted her independence. So we let her, and so far so good. They've really safe. My youngest wants to get into volleyball again. And, you know, the worrier in me says absolutely no way, but they passed the precautions. So we'll see what we see. So the worry is always there on top of my normal level of worry, but I'm very optimistic on the change that we've seen recently in the country. And I'll leave it at that. With the vaccines and everything coming, I'm like everybody else. I'm ready to kind of get out there and just, it's going to be weird. Like, I don't even know if I want to shake hands with people anymore. Kind of like Lou was saying, like, I'm fine with bumping hands or touching elbows. When you look back on it, it doesn't make a lot of sense to shake hands with people. It's kind of gross. You know, I want to hug my friends. I have people that, you know, haven't hugged their mother or their father and, you know, we're creeping up on a year and that's hard to imagine. So I have a lot of that in me. Oh, I technically 2019, but I quit drinking. So I'm 450 some days or 460 now. So that was big. That changed my kind of outlook on life, released a lot of stress that I thought I was helping by drinking. I was actually creating anxiety. So it opens a lot of insight to, you know, have long sober days every day. And so I totally didn't think about it. It's been so long, but that's a pretty big change for me. That's kind of where I am. I'm looking forward. I live a very happy life. I don't have much to complain about now. So all things considered, 2020, you know, it was all right.
How's marriage in, you know, shelter in place?
It's actually good. You know, my wife and I, we've been together 27 years now. So we've got to the point where we realize that like fighting is stupid. And if I do something that annoys her, she just kind of fires back at me and vice versa. And then it's over. Whereas, you know, there's no reason to fight about dumb stuff. She knows who I am and I know who she is. And we get on each other's nerves now and again, like any couple does. But we don't hold on to anything anymore because there's no sense in it. And where are you going to go? You know, we're in the same house, so you can go upstairs, I can go downstairs, but eventually we got to get back in the same room. So let's just hash it out. So that was a newfound maturity in both of us because, you know, it's easy to fight just to bicker. So we're doing good. The kids, their boredom sometimes, you know, gets them a little feisty. And then I gotta kind of watch myself with, you know, going in and being like, you're in your room all day, but your room's never clean. And then so they're under a lot of stress too at their age with this environment. So I try to relax and give everybody the little bit of space they have in the house, but that's not how I work.
And Luis, their deck's only about 4 feet off the ground. So
yeah,
most you're going to do is, yes, yeah. Sprain an ankle or something.
28 floors looks really inviting when, you know, that sharp pain in your back as you're going over the ledge. I wanted to pick up on what John was saying about the Christmas decorations. So Thailand is uniquely Buddhist. So principally, it's a Buddhist country. So they don't do Christmas, except for when you're in the shopping malls, you know, in the big mega malls and that sort of stuff. So Christmas, there are sprinkles of Christmas around. It is really interesting because one of the other Air Force ladies or Air Force, the partner of another Australian Air Force serving member here is from Seattle. So we got to celebrate Thanksgiving this year and she ordered turkeys from the local taco place. So they actually imported the butterball turkeys and cooked them all up. And there was all these, you know, lovely sides and all that sort of thing. So it was absolutely wonderful, which we think we might do for Christmas. So we're going to put an order in for a butterball turkey to be all done and roasted and prepped from Sunshine Tacos at Siloam. But it's really interesting because obviously we're doing Christmas. So this is obviously a Christian festival in this Buddhist country. Christmas, as you know, falls on a Friday and my cleaning lady comes on a Friday And I said, are you sure you don't want Christmas off? And she goes, no, I'm Buddhist. I'm going to come and clean. And it's like, on Christmas. No.
You're kind of in the way.
Yeah.
It just is this total disconnect. And it's just like, that's okay. I'll still give you a gift, because I gave her a gift, Easter egg. And she was looking at it strangely, you know, what's with this chicken thing, you know, egg, chocolate, but anyway. And I have to think, you know, thinking about my Christian, I'm not sort of imposing this, but I'm wanting to equally, as I feel privileged to share Thailand, you know, that I want to give back some of my, you know, Australian or, you know, the other aspects of my life that are important to me. Father's Day was just the other week, and being a Buddhist tradition, you make merit, and we have a picture gallery here of all our family. So and it is a symbolic thing where you make merit to those that have passed on. The local market has the most beautiful bunches of orchids, and that's a symbolic thing, along with the marigolds, the wreaths and things. So in my bad Thai, I said, I made merit to my father and Andrew's father as well, who's passed away. So both our fathers are passed. So I had the photos there with the beautiful orchids. And so she was really touched by that as well. So different traditions and different insights and doing things differently it's really been insightful in this, you know, expat migrant journey of mine here.
Yeah. Interesting, Louise, how you were talking about Christian and the Christian, you know, the gift giving and stuff, which I always find interesting because it's not Christian, like Christianity kind of like latched onto like the celebrations that were going on at this time of year, a time of remembrance, a time of celebration, a time of, you know, it's cold outside. There's very little light. Let's come together, you know, share in each other's company and remember those who have passed.
Yeah, and it is interesting because the different festivals as well. So their New Year is in, you know, it's a water festival in April. Unfortunately, with lockdown, we didn't get to celebrate Songkran. Apparently, that's something as a sight to behold, is walking down the street getting shot at by water cannons and things.
We'll look forward to opening back up and seeing your pictures from it this coming year.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Talking about traditions and stuff, this is an idea, and I've been telling a lot of people about this year. It's an idea that I borrowed from Matt's wife when I think it was probably one of their first Christmases together as like living in a house. I don't think you were married yet, but they had a Christmas party and they asked everyone to bring an ornament. So when I first moved into this house in 2006, I piggybacked off that idea. And it's like, yeah, I'm going to have a solstice party. I usually try to celebrate the solstice every year. And if everyone could bring an ornament. And it was such a good idea because every year when I decorate the Christmas tree, I'm like, oh, this is an ornament from mom. Here's one from, you know, my sister. Here's one from a friend of mine. And it even has a story that goes with it. It was a pair. And the story that goes with it is when he was in elementary school or something, he made his mom a snowman ornament for Christmas. And she thought it was a pair and had commented on it. It's like, what pair? And she said, the pair that you made me when you were in elementary school. He's like, mom, that was a snowman. So every year since, they've gotten her a pair of ornaments. So they gave me a pair of ornaments and shared the story with me.
Sweet.
That's nice.
In my house, we're very into Christmas. My mom is Jewish, but loves Christmas. I think it's because she's an interior designer and it's really a good decorating holiday.
It is.
And her first religion is interior design. And so, yes. But my dad is from a Christian family. And we're honestly, you know, not super, I did not grow up in a super religious family in any direction, but we honor traditions from sort of both areas. And so we would go to my aunt's house for Hanukkah, who I grew up a block away from. So I lived a block away from my Aunt Ellen, and her family did more of the Jewish holiday stuff, and my family did more of the Christian holiday stuff, and they'd come to our house and we'd go to their house. I can't speak, apparently. Harsh. But I always love to cook. So I really like the holiday season because it's always been a time I get very experimental in the kitchen. But about the ornaments is my mom always gets a ginormous tree, or now she just has one. And ornaments have always been really big. There's a 3-day tree decorating extravaganza where like there's a process and a method. Like you have to lay out all of the ornaments on the floor. You can't start hanging any ornaments until they're all displayed so that you can very carefully pick the arrangement of ornaments. It's a thing. Anyway, so she might have a little OCD. But in my household, my boyfriend Eric's mom started collecting fish ornaments for him when he was a little kid. So he has this container. She gave it to us when we moved in together of little like glass fish.
Oh, nice.
Because he's a fisherman. And I guess she figured that out that he would be into fish when he was a small child. My middle name is Rose. So my mom has always given me flower ornaments. And then together, Eric and I have started collecting creatures. So bugs and, you know, beetles, not real ones, like ornaments. And so we have like a sort of a nature scene tree, which makes me very happy.
I have some birds, acorns, pine cones.
Yeah, I love those.
Hey, Kim, my Piper's middle name is Rose, too.
Oh, sweet.
That's a good middle name.
It is.
Here's a funny story. When she was born.
It's not funny.
It is funny. I called John, obviously, and I said, hey, we had a daughter and we didn't tell anybody the names. And he said, what's the name? And I said, Piper Rose. And he said, it's probably best that you kept that to yourself.
Matt and I drank the night before and not a little. And I had to go to work the next day, that the day that Piper was born. And I had a horrible headache. I was so tired and everything. I was just in a bad mood. So but Matt loves to tell that story.
He thought her first name was like one of those double names. Like her name was Piper Rose.
Yeah.
When he woke up, I'm like, by the way, it's Piper. And then her middle name is Rose. And he's like, oh. And I'm like, but still, yeah. He came out a little hot.
It sounded too much to me like Delta Dawn.
If you say it as one name, it is sort of like a call sign.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you Kimberly?
I am Kimberly Rose Howerton, as if I was manor born.
That's a very lovely name.
Thank you. I always tease my mother that I'm like, Mom, we're like Steinbergs and Axenfields on her side of the family. I don't know. I feel like I should look like Daisy. I should be British. I should be blonde. Like, it's not an especially, you know, ethnically Jewish name, I will say.
No.
But yes, it's a very pretty name. It's also a very 80s name, although I was born in the 70s. It's a very 70s name.
It is very 80s.
I never meet any Kimberlys these days. It's very
There's
rare.
Not many. No.
My brother is Michael Clayton Howerton. So we
Ooh, yeah,
very,
both yes, of
we're
you.
Very fancy people.
Michael Clayton.
That feels very 80s as well.
Yes, yes. We were both born in the 70s, so this would explain it.
You were trendsetters.
Yeah, but that trend ended.
How did Teresa become Terry, though?
It happened before my awareness. So, you know, when you're named after a saint and a mother, you know, those are big shoes to fill. So you need a nickname.
Terry feels like a natural nickname for Teresa.
Mm-hmm. I think it is a common one.
Yeah. I was going to say, I got a book in the Bible, so don't flex too hard, Terry. No, I don't. Yeah, I've been Matt forever, and people call me Matthew. I'm like, yeah, I don't want any part of that.
I led the way for Jesus, so shut your mouth, Matt.
Yeah, you got no H
John
in your
the
name,
Baptist.
Buddy.
Oh.
Yeah.
He just didn't know how to spell.
I was insistent as a small child that I was Kim, not Kimberly. It might have been due to the fact that Kimberly is a lot more letters to spell, but I am quite firmly. I mean, I like my name, Kimberly, but I don't really resonate with it.
Yeah.
It's not who I am.
I'm the same way.
Like Matthew.
Yeah, exactly the same. I know somebody doesn't know me if they call me Matthew, or it's my wife or my mom.
And you're in trouble, Matthew.
Or if I want to irritate them.
Yeah. Or if somebody wants to get my attention when I'm not listening, they can say Matthew and it triggers.
Well, 2020 was, you know, interesting. I, unlike many of you who have multiple rooms in your house, live in a very small space. well, okay, Terry and I live in small spaces.
Yeah, what's the deal with you two now? Terry might even be taking you on for winner of the smallest flat now, no?
I think Terry's flat is smaller than mine. I have at least one room with a door on it.
I have a bathroom with a door.
Okay, I have two doors. Two. But Eric and I have been in isolation together. And surprisingly, it's gone actually really awesome. we get along pretty well, especially, I think, similar to Matt, that we're older and we're like, oh, you're just going to still be here if we have a fight. So maybe we just shouldn't. So we're having a good time. It's a little bit like Groundhog Day in that it's like, and then I get up and I put on my daytime pajamas. Yes. And then I, but again, like Terry, like my work is one that I can do online. I don't really need to go out much. So for the most part, I'm at home and on my computer, on my sofa. And like, it's like every day. And then I do have sort of a bit of a pod with my parents. So the first several months of this thing, we did not interact. Like I would go over to their house and wave at them from the street to say hi. But then we decided like they're quarantining for the most part. The only people I interact with, it's very brief moments at a grocery store. So it made sense to us that we would kind of form a pod. So I do go see my parents in, every week or so, though we actually do maintain some distance. We're not really hugging or getting within each other's faces.
You guys have outside weather all year round, basically, don't you?
Basically. And we've been, spending time together outside. We're trying to make intelligent decisions. We're not never getting together with groups of people. And so, the reality is, everybody's seeing how this goes. And, though I feel confident that I'm in, fairly metabolic good health, I also had lung surgery when I was a kid. I just have exceptionally bad health luck as well. And so, and then my parents are in their 70s, and my mom this year was a really rough medical year in that she had a hip replacement, and then on the heels of the hip replacement, she got shingles. So she's just been kind of a miserable, I mean, she's not miserable. She's had a miserable year. She herself is delightful. And so it's been a year really about connecting with the people in my life, my close life. My brother and his wife and his three kids were spending 2019 in Italy.
I remember.
And then actually when this whole thing happened and they got locked down there, they decided not to come home. So they're still in Italy because the health outcome in Italy looked a lot better than it was looking in the United States. And they could send the kids to school in person. That since changed and the kids are now back at home, yeah. But at least they got some months where the kids got to go to school with people in person. So it's just a small group of us in the Bay Area, in my family. And, the one thing I think that's really come to me this year is, I often say this jokingly that, the key to happiness is low expectations, but it's actually true. Like they've done studies and found that happiness really measures of happiness really depend on your expectation level and the difference between reality and expectation. And so for me, it's been a great year of focusing on what really matters in my life, what really makes a difference to me. Having low expectations doesn't mean having low standards. Like I've stepped it up in a lot of ways in my life. I've stepped up my attention to my health. I've stepped up my checking in on people. Like I actually have taken the opportunity of the slow down life to try and increase my attention in certain areas. And that's been really good for me. Do I miss seeing people in person? 100%. Absolutely. Do I miss travel? Absolutely. Do I miss like eating at a restaurant? I haven't done that since this whole thing started. And at the same time, like it is what it is. And to fight it, in my opinion, like, it's not like I'm like ignoring the problem or pretending it doesn't exist. But I think to me, I've just gotten to a point where I'm like, I want to really be satisfied and happy with my life in a way that requires me to be really just present with the current reality of my life.
That's a very big deal. Yeah, I'm the same way. That's so true.
Mm. How's 2020 for you, Daisy?
Well, it's one of those ones where I started it and I'm finishing it in very different places. Well, almost quite literally, but I meant more from a headspace point of view. I seem to remember when we recorded last year, I was saying I'd had a pretty bad year as far as depression goes. And I headed into 2020 in the same sort of frame of mind. But things did start turning around, in part, I have to say, to my lovely new podcast co-host, Terry, who helped me a lot. And actually, the podcast itself helped. The actual mechanics of the podcast, you know, having to listen to something, finding something to share with Terry for the podcast, just getting into that environment of listening to things that help with behavior and mindset and mood, sort of gets you into that frame of mind. So I think just the mechanics of making the podcast helped. Terry herself, of course, helped, and you lot and the rest of my online buddies really helped. But I gradually started lifting myself out of that. And also, I think I mentioned when we had a bit of a COVID chat, when we got together, didn't we, and talked a bit about things that were going on. I said that I was going to tighten up my keto game, and I did. And I've kept to that. And I think that has really helped me feel a lot better too. So heading out in a much better frame of mind out of this year. And with the lockdown, I fell in love with this place again. You know, I'm an introvert. I'm not exactly a hermit, but I do keep myself to myself. So this place was a wonderful place to be this year. And I'd done some work on the house last year. So I had, whereas going outside my back door last year, Louise will remember, very dangerous decking area. That was all redone. And I'd done the kitchen. And so, you know, I grew some things from seed and got back into gardening a bit more and spent more time working outside. All of these things, I guess, really fed into improving my state of mind. But it was really nice to fall back in love with this place because it won't be my place for much longer. I actually signed the papers next week. The new buyer has very kindly agreed to let me stay here until I move. I'll be moving early next year back to the UK. So it felt nice to fall back in love with the house, just to leave it. It's nice, I think, to head out feeling the same way as you move back in. I'm very much one of those people who does fall in love. I buy places emotionally. They have to be emotionally charged. Although, funnily enough, the place I'm getting in the UK, I won't see until I move into it. But I kind of did it vicariously through my sister. I picked up on that emotional charge through her. I could tell she did a wonderful, wonderful job of walkthrough videos of the place and FaceTimed me outside and walked around the neighbourhood. And I could pick up from her feeling about the place. And obviously, she knows me well. So I'm very confident that I'm going to walk in and love that place too. I'm certainly looking forward to living by the sea and moving to a different area and getting back to friends and family. So it's been a difficult year in some ways. I feel I was very well prepared for lockdown, being an introvert, keeping myself to myself. I guess the thing I've missed most is, although I don't tend to socialize that much, I have friends, a couple who come over a lot, particularly one half, Pete, who's usually here at least every couple of weeks, goes backwards and forwards between the UK and here. And we have this great exchange system where I cook him meals and he takes me out for a meal. And so usually we'd be doing that. So I've really missed that. I've really missed seeing him. I've missed cooking for somebody else. I've missed going out to restaurants and things. And I don't know, he's talking about potentially coming over before the end of the year to bring his truck over, but the chances are good. I certainly won't see Alison and probably won't see him before I leave, which is a shame. But all in all, I feel a little bit guilty sometimes, because for me it's turned out to be a pretty good year.
I'm going to really miss not seeing your new deck and your new kitchen and all those improvements and renovations. Having had the privilege of having stayed at your chateau, yeah.
I'll have to do you a video walkthrough before I leave.
Yeah. That'd be great. Yeah, I'd like that too. That'd be nice to see
the new the
I'm
new
really rooms. Looking forward to you moving to the UK, where I feel more like I will probably visit you at some point in the future than in the wilds of France. No offense, France. But
Yeah.
It is very much the back of beyond where I live here. It's much more. My sister said to me when she was doing the walk round outside, we were FaceTiming and she was walking around the neighborhood. She said, "You do realize that it's very urban here, don't you?" She said, and this it's not Worthing urban where my mum lives, which is a fairly big town. It's like Brighton urban, London urban. It's very really peoply. Urban.
Really?
Oh, okay. Are you prepared?
Neighbors.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Wow.
Yes, and I will have neighbours all around on either side and above me, of course. So it's going to be, environmentally, it's going to be very, very different. I mean, you almost couldn't get more different from where I am now. Mm. And so obviously it's going to be a big period of adjustment for both for me and for the animals. But
the dogs, yeah.
Looking forward to it. Yeah, especially the sea. Can't wait to be. I'll be about 10-15 minutes walk from the sea. So
very nice.
That's a good payoff.
Do you have any kind of yard for the dogs? Are they
yes, actually, that's always the bonus of if you have the ground floor or the lower ground floor flat. I've actually got a maisonette, which I don't think Americans know the term maisonette. I think maybe you call it a duplex. It's basically a two-story flat.
We do call that
right.
Well,
a duplex
or a or an townhouse. Over-under.
Yeah, townhouse.
Yeah, townhouse.
Right. Duplex.
So we have flats, which is one level. Bungalows are also, but flats are stacked and it's one level. Maisonettes are two-story flats. And the place I'm moving to is actually a four-story house. And I've got the bottom maisonette. Somebody else has the top. Okay. And what's always the benefit of having the bottom half is that you tend to get the garden. So I've got both the front and the back garden, little garden out the front, and actually quite a decent long garden at the back. That was a key thing for me, obviously, with the dogs.
Very nice.
You own that. The people upstairs technically have no, and I'm not, you know, you do what you want with your neighbors, but that's yours.
Yeah, no, it's just me.
Okay, that's nice. That's cool. Nice.
I don't know why I think shared yards are weird, but I always think that's weird.
I lived with a neighbor where we had when it was same thing. They had the second floor. We had the first floor and it was a nightmare trying to who's cutting the grass, who's doing this, who's shoveling the sidewalk, what. Yeah.
And it does happen. And sometimes they portion them off and things like that. But that was a key thing for me when I'm looking. I have to have my own garden and it has to be contained and it has to be all mine. Can't have, you know, anyone going in and out and leaving gates open and things like that. So
whenever I think about your place, I always envision, like, you know, that movie The Holiday with Cameron Diaz. And granted, this is in the UK, but there's this, she's going to this rental house and like the car can't get through. And so she has to walk the last mile through the snow, you know, like this whole, I always get this image that your house is like out in the country through the, around the corner, around, through the dale, over the hill. I don't know why I have that impression, but that's how I imagine it.
So that's where we're going to leave it for this week and wrap up 2020. I hope everyone has a really fun and healthy and safe time heading into 2021, i.e. don't drink too much. And we'll see you in the next episode and 2021.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
To get the resources and links from this show, please go to ketowomanpodcast.com/episodes. Please share this podcast with as many people as possible by sharing one of my links or just taking a screenshot of an episode that you enjoyed. Reviews really help raise the profile of the podcast, which gets it in front of more people, but also helps me attract a wide variety of guests. So please take a minute to leave a review on whichever podcast app or platform you like to listen on. It doesn't go unnoticed by me, the people who regularly like, share and comment on my posts. Your support really does mean the world to me. Thank you. Are you enjoying this podcast? Help me make more episodes and videos by making a pledge at my Patreon page, patreon.com/ketowoman. Or simply hit the support button on the Keto Woman Podcast website. Don't forget to join in the fun on the Keto Woman Podcast Instagram and Facebook pages and Daisy_KetoWoman on Twitter. Are you my next extraordinary woman? Maybe you've got an idea for a show, a topic you would like to hear about. Let me know how I can tickle your earbuds by dropping me a line at daisy@ketowomanpodcast.com. This week's end quote is from Mother Teresa. It's not how much we give, but how much love we put into giving. Bye-bye, keto lovelies. And I hope you have a very Merry Christmas, or Happy Holidays, or just an utterly fabulous day.